Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, we welcome you once again to another, what we are expecting to be an exciting episode of the PRF Table. I'm one of your hosts, Brother Dunlap. We also have hosting with us is Brother Feaster sitting down at the table with us. How are you doing this evening, good man?
I am doing great. I am fabulous. I am excited, as always, about tonight.
I'm glad you come with your energy shoes on today, because last week I was a little nervous about you.
It was a long day last week. Today was a little bit easier, so I'm good today.
But you know what? Even in that, I know you were tired. I know I was tired. It was just amazing how God just totally transformed our tiredness, gave us life and energy, brought Brother Saeed on the show, and it just took off from there. So we had a fabulous show last week. Tonight we're really going to continue on into this topic of debt. We really believe that it is not a topic that we can just talk about for just one or two shows. So I don't know how many shows we've been dealing with various aspects of debt, my brother, but I do know that we're going to continue, as we do with every other topic that God gives us, we're going to continue in it as long as God tells us to continue in it. And when he releases us from this, when his people have been blessed to the degree that he has allowed them to be blessed, then we'll move on to something else. But we still have the faithful following. You know, we have about 500 listeners listening to every single show. So we're just praying and trusting God that what God is doing is really touching the lives of individuals through not just myself, but Brother Feaster, also Sister Paula, and Sister Sanders as well. So Sister Paula, are you sitting down at the table with us this week? I thought she was, Brother Feaster. Maybe she'll come on in a few minutes. So let me tell you what we're going to do. Brother Feaster, did you have anything that you wanted to recap for the listening audience before we just go into tonight's show? And tonight's show is just a real simple title, Debt, Is There Help? And we're going to answer that question, is there help for your debt situation tonight? But Brother Feaster, did you have anything that you wanted to give to our listeners this evening?
The thing that really stood out with me from last week's show was the community aspect of debt, or not necessarily the community aspect, and or if not one sole person's problem. What really stood out for me last week in that is, number one, it's a community effort to get into debt, and it's going to take an alike community effort to get out of debt. We do not go in debt by buying stuff from ourselves. We don't go in debt by, you know, staying in the house and only doing things inside the house. No, we acquired debt because we went out and purchased something, or we went somewhere to do something, or a situation happened with other people or involved other people. And the same way it took a community to get us in debt, it's going to take the same community to get us out of debt. Somebody gives us credit. That's a community that someone is allowing us to be a part in to get us out of debt. And that's the thing that really got me last week, because it seemed like everything that we talked around revolved around the community efforts, both getting in and out of debt. So that's my recap of last week.
And, you know, and that's so true. I'm glad those type of topics or discussion points was actually brought out in last week's show, because as you so eloquently have put it, Brother Feaster, yes, we may be the ones that get ourselves into debt, but we know as ministers it is often people coming with broken hearts, broken families, broken relationships because of this debt situation or because of their debt challenges or because of mismanagement of money, all the things that we talk about in the PRF on the PRF table. And so then the community does get involved, whether I'm just praying for you who are going through a debt challenge right now. I'm praying for you or counseling with you if you and your husband or you and your wife are not getting along because you didn't talk about certain things before you got married and how you were going to handle your finances or your possessions and your resources. So it always becomes, and this is just my take on it, I'm glad you know you see it as well, that it becomes a communal effort to help individuals in these debt different debt challenges. So I'm excited about where we're going to go tonight. I have one recap, Brother Feaster, one recap point. Last week, I think I said that the show was dedicated to, and I think we're going to dedicate the show to the same people as we did last week. You know, we're dedicating this show to people that need help or that are in search of ministry. Either or, you pick your choice. But also, we're dealing with the individuals who are helpers or who are ready to provide ministry. I think if we think about that from that aspect, you know, we're always in a give and take type of relationship. So either I'm giving or I'm receiving. But in the big scheme of things, we don't sit back and walk around saying, I'm giving right now. And then we walk around and say, I'm receiving right now. It's a give and take relationship. So that's what we do at the PRF table. We give and take. We allow others to come on and join into the conversation, have a seat at the table, discuss what's on your mind. So at any point in time, if you just want to have part in this conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll just bring you right in. You sit down at the table and share what's on your mind. So, Brother Feaster, what I did, my brother, you know, I really thought about this last week, and I'm kind of getting the sense that we may be wrapping up this topic of debt in a couple of weeks. Maybe tonight, I have no idea. But one thing that God really impressed upon my heart was that we really want to make sure that as we depart from this particular subject and move on to another subject, that the thing that we are really, really intentional about doing is making sure that we encourage folk in their debt situations, debt challenges. If we're not able to encourage people in their debt situations, their debt challenges, their debt crises, then there's a sense of hopelessness that so many people already have right now. So what are we doing for? What are we doing it for? Can you agree with me on that?
I actually totally agree with you, because as soon as you thought about that, I thought about how debt can be like this big, huge rock, because it could be this big, huge rock, and we're pushing it uphill. If we don't know what we're doing, we're actually pushing this big rock that's not symmetric, you know, and we're pushing it uphill. And it could be very discouraging as you're pushing this big rock uphill. You don't see where the apex of the hill is. You don't know when you're going to get to the hill. Your arms are getting tired. Your legs are getting tired. So as you're trying, you know, to use your back, you're trying to use your legs, you're trying to use your arms, it's the same thing when it comes to trying to get out of debt. You hear about this debt-free conference, or you hear about this, you know, 12 steps to living debt-free, or, you know, decrease your cable bill here and increase your interest here and all this good stuff like that. So it can become very discouraging. So I think it is very appropriate that we use today's show as an encouragement to let people know that, yeah, you may. So let people know one of two things. One, yes, you may be in debt and pushing this rock uphill, but one, there is a way out. And two, there are people there to help you. And three, you're not alone. And I think that's another thing that discourages a lot of us. We may think that we're in this alone.
Mm. You know what? And we talked about, I think we talked about that a little bit last weekend, and I had an opportunity, I didn't tell you, but I had an opportunity to take PRF to Albany, Georgia last week and talk about a couple of different things. And it was a great and exciting time, and that was one of the things that I mentioned. It was a couple-day event. I was there for 2 nights or 2 days. And on the first day, one of the things that I mentioned to the congregation or the group that was there was that you are not in this thing alone. You're not in this thing alone. And I think if the mindset of the individual or an individual who is going through some type of debt challenge can understand that you are not in this thing alone, I think they'll have a better chance or a better way or outlook of what their debt situation is. Now, here's the thing. Here's the challenge. In order for somebody to feel, watch this, that they are not alone, there has to be people there that lets them know that they are not alone.
Right.
If the people are not positioned, if the people are not there around them, if the people do not know where to go to find other individuals to help them understand that they are not alone, then those individuals will fall by the wayside. And I think because of all of the success, not taking anything away from God because he is the one who really gave the success of this show, man, if people just get it in whatever city you're in, whatever congregation you're in, whatever small town you're in, just get it. And it goes back to that communal piece as well. So, Brother Fisa, I hope that you can go to the Facebook page, Possessions.Resource and Finance, and maybe post it. You know what I'm saying? See what people want to be able to engage in the conversation with us on those particular subjects. So if you didn't have anything else, Brother Fisa, let me go to, you know, I just wrote down a couple of different points, and we'll just take it from there. One of the things that I believe God will want me to do for us in this area of encouraging individuals is pray for the release of pride. Pray for the release of pride. You know, in Proverbs 16:18, I believe, it says, pride leads to destruction, but a proud attitude brings ruin. So when you think about destruction, you think about disaster. When you think about a ruin, you think about a fall, somebody falling off. So there's a lot of individuals who may have fallen off the grid because they've gotten frustrated, not because they wanted to have a spirit of pride, but maybe because they didn't know who to go to. So I'm really trying to encourage anybody listening, pray for the release of pride. If pride is the thing that is causing you to not want to seek and reach out for assistance, I promise you, God can release that from you. God can take that away from you, but it's going to take you praying first. You know, we can't expect you just not to be prideful all of a sudden if you've been prideful all of your life. I'll give you a perfect example. If you've been the type of individual who has never wanted to ask for help, and now you are 50 years old or older and you're in a debt situation, you've had all these years behind you to just say all of a sudden you're just going to be very, very, how do I put it? You're just going to automatically jump off and just ask somebody for some help when you've never asked anybody or not wanted to ask anybody or struggled with asking somebody for some help over the last 49 or 50 years of your life. Brother Feaster, I just say it just doesn't happen like that. So that would be my first thing, Brother Feaster. What would you add to that particular point?
Timing. Can I throw timing in that? Sometimes we don't look at the timing aspect of the situations that we're in. And I think that's something that we miss in that. We look at how sometimes we plan for the best and we're heading toward the best and the best don't happen. And so it's mm-hmm. one of, like, I think we were talking about how sometimes life happens last week, you know, and I think that's another thing that we really need to take into account. Sometimes life just happens.
That's right. And when it happens, there again, we're going to keep talking about community. You know, you have to have some people around you. There has to be some people around you to be able to help you out in that situation. So if I had to say anything, if you don't catch anything else, You know, maybe this piece of encouragement is not for you. Maybe this piece of encouragement is for somebody else. Maybe it's for somebody that has yet to cross your path, those of you who are in better financial situations. So let that be the first point that we want to bring out tonight. Pray for the release of pride. Brother Feaster, the other one that I thought about was, and I said it in a couple of the previous shows, but I think it's well worth repeating and just expanding on it. Having debt does not mean that you're a failure.
Right.
Can we just put that out to people? Having debt does not mean that you are a failure. You know, there's a lot of people out there, including politicians, religious hypocrites, other people who have privilege and status, who either consciously, unconsciously, who either intentionally or unintentionally have made people feel as if they are failures in life because of their debt situations. I just don't believe it. Oftentimes, I think many people don't know the why or the how somebody got to be in a particular debt situation. So when you don't have an understanding of the how, when you don't have an understanding of the why, and you're not willing to engage them in conversation, or you're not making yourself a safe place for them to be able to come to you and say, hey, I got this problem going on. I'm a couple months past due on this bill. Let's go back to 2 Kings chapter 4, right? The creditors are coming, right? And they're coming to take my children. Now that person is able to put aside the pride, and now they're coming to somebody. At that particular point, going back to 2 Kings, she did not care about what anybody said.
Right.
That was not even a highlight of her life. Right now, the situation for her was what? I need to get a fix on this problem.
Right.
So I want people to know, having debt does not mean that you are a failure. Sister Dia said it last week. She has debt. Sister Paula said it the week before or last week as well. I have debt. Everybody on this show, all of us who sit down at the PRF table, have debt. Do I have some credit card debt? Yes. Do I wish I was at zero on the credit card debt? Yes. But am I working towards it? Yes. It makes all the difference in the world. So nobody can place that upon me. I think it's a thing of the enemy to have somebody believing that they are a failure because of their debt situation. Goes back to your point, Brother Feaster. You don't know why. Sometimes things just happen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So. And not only that, if we think that, if we see debt as a failure, then what is the chance, well, what is the motivation for us to get out of debt? Because it becomes a thought process. It affects the way we think. Our thoughts affect the way we act. It affects what we do. So if we see it as a failure, you know, somebody like me, who's a very optimistic person, who's a very outgoing person, who's big on doing major accomplishments and completing tasks. If I see debt as a failure instead of seeing it as a challenge to something to get out of, I'm going to see it as a defeat. And it's going to make my motivation a lot low and or negative. And it's going to affect me in not a positive way of getting out of it. I may never seek out far enough. No, the old saying we say in the Christian faith, you know, you keep on pressing, you might find your blessing. Well, I may never make it to that point because I'm getting discouraged at the very beginning because I feel like a failure. So now I have to deal with my thoughts. But if we understand that debt, I want to say it, and it's not going to be to the full extent of what I'm saying, but if we understand that debt is a part of life, we will always owe something to somebody for some reason.
Right.
A car, you owe insurance, but you also owe gas to the car. You know what I'm saying? You owe maintenance to the car. So there's the good side and the bad side of both. So we will never be in a state where we'll never have any debt. We'll always owe something. I owe my mom for carrying me for 9 months, and I'm, you know, well over the age of worried about that, but I still owe her for that. So if we see it as a failure, it affects our motivation. It affects our drive. It affects our decision. It affects our way, or even it affects how we go about seeing the debt and obtaining a way to control or manage the debt, as we've been saying for the past couple of weeks.
I think I went a little long on that one, but well, you know, people need to hear it. You know, we do a lot of talking on this show because people need to hear it. You know, the conversations are not out there in some of the circles that we all engage in. So if the answer needs to go a little bit longer, Brother Feaston, nobody's tripping. You know, one thing I found out being a minister is nobody get mad but the enemy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The enemy is the one that gets mad when we are in positions to allow ourselves to be used by God as vessels to help bless people and to help people get out of certain situations and to grow closer to Him. Sister Adia, are you with us? Are you sitting down at the table with us?
Yes, I am.
There you go. How you doing this evening?
I am doing wonderful.
I am so happy to hear you. Well, how about you just go ahead and jump on into the conversation? What do you have for us?
Well, I've been listening, and it's been really great to be on the other end to where, you know, I'm not live on the air. So this is really just giving me opportunity to actively listen. And I had shared talking in the conversation, and I was just, you know, I like it. I think last week I was just saying, like, you know, certain words that just come, that just kind of just come, drop it, get dropped in your spirit. And what I heard, you know, from you and Feaster talking is the condemnation. And Kimmy Well just finished an honors program at our church. And one of the things that the youth pastor put in there is not to allow the enemy to bring condemnation on us. And as believers, we have to know that Jesus already paid the price for us. He already paid it. So what we're going through is the learning process so that our faith can continue to grow and our dependence on God will continue to grow. So when we look at that, we have to understand that we will not don't have to live and walk in condemnation. Because Romans 8:1 tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so the other part that I wanted to talk about was there's a movie, one of my favorite movies, entitled Meet the Robinsons. And the character Lewis in the story was adopted by this family. And he becomes, in the future, he becomes a world-renowned scientist and inventor. But as he's looking at himself from as a child into the future, he's with the family, and he doesn't realize that it's his family because he's still a kid, but he realizes that they celebrated the failures, and they celebrated it because they said, in my failures, I'm able to learn on what not to do next, or what not to do again. And so when I'm looking at debt and I'm listening to you and Feaster talk, what I hear, what I'm hearing is that even in our failures, it's another opportunity for us to learn what not to do again, and we can grow from that. So if we have debts, and some of us may have made some bad choices in our past, and so that bad choice has met us in our future, it's an opportunity for us to learn and to grow. If you have a home or whatever the case may be, it's an opportunity for you to tell somebody else that they can do it, that to encourage them that if they do the things that they need to do, that they too can have a home or they can have a car or whatever it may be. But I think that sometimes we get caught up in what we did and we allow the condemnation of that to weigh us down. And so we never recover from that. And so we feel bad and we don't share the good news and we don't share what God is doing in our lives. And so I don't want us to get lost. I'm so sorry I'm in a public place, but I don't want us to get lost.
That's all right. Go ahead.
I don't want us to get lost in that, but to celebrate, even if we've made a wrong choice, to know that God can take that wrong decision, we can learn from it, and it could still be a blessing to someone else.
Wow, that was good. You know, celebrate it. You know, I'm one that believes that a testimony is a very, very powerful thing. And so oftentimes when those of us have failed or are currently failing, whoever fits into that mold, in their debt situation, you know, still experiencing the downslope or the valley experience right now, because it takes time to get out of this debt valley once you get into it. But to be able to give a testimony about how you see God helping to bring you through it, even though you're not all the way out of it, that's a thing of faith that you just can't, you can't buy that. You can't buy that on the shelf at Walmart. You just can't do it. It has to be something intrinsically inside of you. And so I love the scripture that you presented to us, Sister Dear. There's no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But all, the other part of that says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So to add to that, you know, to read the whole verse 8 and 1 out of Romans, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So it goes, it reminds me of seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Right.
Seek after the spirit. Seek how God wants you to address this. Now, I'm saying that as a man who is talking to somebody who believes in God, saying that to somebody who calls himself a believer, but even for you who do not, there's still no condemnation. Nobody has a right to condemn you, whether you're a believer or not, if you have that situation. I mean, how can we say that's even right? We can't say that's right and be true to anything, right, Brother Feaster? Nobody has a right to condemn you, even if you're not a believer. So, go ahead, bro.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to double talk you, step on you. That ties into when I was talking about Lazarus last week. When Lazarus, when Jesus came to raise Lazarus from the dead, the people that put the stuff on him had to take the stuff off him, the grave clothes. He was bound when he was rose. Jesus said, I'm not going to take the stuff off that you put on. And yet we're condemning people. And as we're condemning people, we're putting them more and more in bondage. Debt is already a bondage in itself. And now what we're doing is putting you in more debt by making you feel ashamed that you're in debt. Well, how am I going to get out of debt if I feel ashamed? I'm not going to look for help. I'm not going to seek help. I'm not even going to know where to go find it. I'm not even going to talk to anybody about it because I feel ashamed. You know, so that's okay, I'm done. Go ahead.
Hey, it's all right. You know, the conversation needs to be had. And anybody else who wants to join into the conversation, please press 1 on your dial pad. Have a seat with us at the PRF table. We really want people to be released from this debt thing. Everybody's at different levels of it, but collectively as a group of individuals living in community with one another, we have the ability to turn this thing around. If you were on the show last week, Brother Saeed and I, we were going back and forth a little bit talking about different figures that are out there, and it is amazing how much individuals pay in interest. It's a lot. So guess what? Since it is a lot, if you're paying a lot of money in interest because you have a high level of debt, you have to also consider how much money are you not saving? How much money are you not putting back for a rainy day, you know, to piggyback off of what Brother Saeed was saying. So we want everybody to get out of that situation. Whoever wants to listen, you know, just like in Romans, let them hear who has ears to hear. It's real simple. Well, it's simple to me. I say it's simple, but it's not as simple. And Adia, you gave me a thing of encouragement when you said you were actively listening. So when you said that made me say, let me bring this point out. Actively listen to what's going on around you in your debt situation. See, who you listen to makes all the difference in the world. If you have a debt situation and you listen to somebody who has no faith or wants to do it according to a worldly manner, meaning not want to pay their just debts, just want relief from the debt but not want to pay their just debts, well, that's not the right type of spirit to have because you're messing over somebody else. Well, that doesn't work. You're going to get release and freedom, but you're going to mess over somebody else in the process? It doesn't work like that. God would not ordain something like that. So, actively listening. So if person A over here is going through a debt situation and person B then got a chapter, did a file to chapter 7, was able to get free of their debts, listening to that person may not be the right thing to do because that individual may not have the right spirit. That individual may have gone through that bankruptcy process and not have learned their lesson. You feel me?
Right.
See, so, again, who we listen to, what we listen to, watching TV, seeing certain things that talk about being debt-free and getting out of debt. Let me encourage you. That may not be who you need to listen to. So I would say, for those who believe as we do, seek God. Find out from God what is the best route that I need to go. Who do I need to listen to? Do I need to be listening to the PRF table on Thursday night? And then going back and listening to the archive. Do I need to listen to Brother Feaster? Do I need to ask God to send me to the right person? And once I get to that right person, that person may not be the person who has all the answers, but they may direct me to somebody else who does. But once I get there, am I willing? Do I have a heart to listen to whatever it is that is being presented for before me? We never know how God is going to operate and how he's going to use individuals. So thank you, Sister Adia, for bringing that point of encouragement out to everybody about active listening. You know, I want to bring this point out, Brother Feaster, and please jump in as well. I want everybody to be encouraged, those who are listening, that it's never too late to ask for help. You know, loan companies are not in the business of selling cars. They want their money. They want it just as bad as you want your car. I had listened to somebody, and I had them write it down. They were telling me about they had a friend had about a year left note on a car note, and it was only like $646. And this friend had recently had started a job and was making less money than she was making when she first purchased the car. So what she did was she contacted the loan company, and they refinanced the balance of the loan and extended her payments. So now her payments are between $350 to $400. It's now an amount that she can afford. Isn't that amazing? Something as simple as just reaching out, asking for help. Now, what this person could have done, this person could have taken that as a thing of defeat. But somehow, and I don't know how this individual said or got to the point of reaching out to the car company, but they did it. So individuals who are behind in your payment right now, maybe all you need to do is just reach out for help. Reach out to the car company. See, it's not always about getting help from another person. Sometimes it's getting help from the creditors. I don't think a lot of people really understand that. Reach out to the mortgage company if you need to. Hey, this is what's going on. Reach out to the car loan company. Hey, this is what's going on. Is there something else that we can do? I mean, when I heard that story from this person who gave me this for the show, I said, that is amazing. That is exactly the type of thing that we have at our disposal that we're able to do. I want to believe that when that person decided to do a thing of integrity instead of just not answering the phone, instead of just letting the car go back to the company and getting repossessed, they took a leap of faith, Brother Feast and Sister Sanders. And when they took a leap of faith, I think God just stepped in and made everything else work. Am I saying that that's going to happen in everybody's instance? Can't say that. Wish it did. I would love for it to. But I believe there's enough examples out there that we are able to encourage individuals in that type of situation that is never too late to ask for help. Brother Feaster, can you add anything to it, or do you want to add anything to that?
I want to add something into it, and I hope it don't sound discouraging as we're trying to be encouraging.
You better not.
Because what I hear, and I know, right? What I hear in that, and you know this is my heart, I also hear stewardship in that. Because of her faithfulness over time, because she steadily went at it over time, they were willing to help her. So we have to look at our responsibility to the debt. She was true to her responsibility to the debt until she couldn't be true anymore. And so now the creditors were willing to assist. Some creditors are not willing to assist. But if she's had this car note for 5 years and we're now down to the last 6 months and she's been faithful for 5 years, they're willing because she's shown that she's a good steward over her debt. So they're willing to help her out a little more. And that's where we have to see that there is some responsibility that we have to do in the debt. And that, to me, Now I feel like I need to tie that in to being encouraging, because what that tells me is I now have some control in my way out. A lot of people feel like there's no way out of the debt. But one, if I can get to the point to where I feel like I have self-control of getting out of the debt, then that gives me that hope. That gives me that, you know, that motivation to want to activate, even if it's a little small piece of control. Feeling like you have a little small piece of control is better than feeling like you have no control at all. So I hope that wasn't discouraging, but yet encouraging to see that we do have a part in this of getting out. There are our faithfulness, our stewardship, finding where our – she found where her control was. She found that her control was calling the creditors, calling the people and saying, calling the loan company and say, hey, I'm in this situation. Can you help me out? That she found her small piece of control, and she activated what seemed like a small piece of control ended up being – a major outcome. So hopefully that wasn't discouraging, but encouraging.
Absolutely. And as you were talking, and I know you're very big on stewardship as well, I appreciate that piece, the little plug about stewardship, because if you're doing the best that you possibly can, let's keep encouraging. If you're doing the best that you possibly can, and you reach out to the creditor and say, hey, this is what's going on, then you have to, at that point, you've done all that you can do. But you have a history that's behind you that says, hey, this person has been faithful over a few things. This person has been faithful over these 5 years. But we also know, and let's be realistic as well, there's a lot of people who don't ask for help until it's almost too late. And that's why I brought the point out. It's never too late to ask for help. So you may not get that grace that you're looking for from the creditor because you may have waited for a longer period of time where they get to the point where they say, I wish it had came to me 2 months, but now we're at 3 or 4 months, and now we've already started the process of a repossession or a foreclosure. So let me encourage you. If you've done all that you can do, don't let the enemy beat you up that it was too late. Allow God's grace to kick in when you've done all that you can do. I think it's a simple concept, Brother Fisa. Allow God's grace to kick in. If you allow God's grace to kick in when you've done all that you can do, the enemy can't hold nothing over your head because you know that you've done all that you can do. That's my little 3 cents, Brother Feaster. It's never too late. And I think what you brought in, again, with the stewardship piece, I think that was right on time. I think it was timely. And adding grace to that, you know, grace from, you know, we as individuals give grace as well. So I pray that there's, you know, my brothers and sisters are not so super spiritual that they don't understand that we as individuals, as human beings that God has created, also are created to give grace as well. Of course, it's the grace of God flowing through us. But doggone, if you work in a doggone in the financial sector, you know, it may be worth going that extra mile to help somebody. It may be worth going that extra mile to help somebody. And you never know what that's going to do for their life. You know, some people are really down and out about this debt thing, Brother Feaster. So we want people to get as much help as they possibly can get. So those of you who are listening, who know individuals that are in the financial sector, you know, let's pray for them that they will be ones that will offer grace to individuals, especially those who are doing their very best to survive, especially those individuals, as you said, Brother Feaster, things happen. Life happens. I guarantee you, as life has happened to me in the past, I was praying that God would use somebody to give me grace. So we have to be careful when we're asking God to give us grace, that we also are willing to give grace to somebody else.
Right. Right. I think that goes back to the community effect that we were talking about last week. getting out of debt is going to take the same amount of people that it took us to get into debt. And this is when you were talking about pride earlier. If we have that pride, then we're not going to seek out the right community. Because we're going to seek out the community, a community, but it won't be the right community. We have pride as opposed to calling the realtor or opposed to calling the loan company, we're going to call the loan shark. Or we're going to go to these check cashing place or the pawn shop because we have pride. We're not going to go to the right community. We're going to make a decision. We're going to find a community. It just may not be the right one. As opposed, you know, calling the loan company, they can extend your payments, keep your same interest. It may even be 20-30%. But if you go to the loan shark, now not only are you paying the 20% on the loan over here, but now you got to pay an additional 20, 30, 40, 50. I heard of and it hurt my stomach, tell you the truth. I heard of a loan company that's charging 120% interest on their loans. So that's ridiculous to me. But so now you're paying the loan and the loan shark. So you got to find the right community. You got to, that helps you with that. Removing that pride helps you find the right community.
You're right, brother. I'm so happy that this community that God has allowed us to form every Thursday night at 8 o'clock. I'm grateful. You know, it is a very humbling experience that we even have this platform. You know, 30, 40 years ago, it was not that. It was actually individuals that had to make this thing happen, living in the community around them. You know what I'm saying? So I'm grateful for what we have. And we're just going to continue to try to do our very best to make sure that we are doing everything and anything that we possibly can do to help bless individuals out there, release individuals from bondage so they can have the freedom to live the type of lives that God has created every last one of you listening to be. So far we've talked about several different things. This show tonight is about debt. Is there help? Yes, there is help. And we're answering that question for those of you who are just tuning in to the PRF table. We're answering that question by just giving words of encouragement and talking about how we believe that God has placed in us to encourage you, the listeners, and not just you, the listeners, but either you who actually needs the help or somebody close to you who actually needs some help as well. So one level of encouragement was pray for the release of pride. Another one was having debt does not mean that you are a failure. Another one was it's never too late to ask for help. Another one was, thanks to Sister Adia, actively listen to the individuals that are providing help to you or providing assistance or telling you or giving you direction on what to do and where to go. And let me throw this one out here, Brother Friesen. This was a very good one, and it came to me a couple of days ago. And I'm sure we're going to be on this for a minute. Listen to this. Let me encourage everybody to not try to pay off your debts more than one at a time. Do not try to pay off all of your debts at more than one at a time. And I'm sure I'll get some pushback from some individuals because there's several different schools of thought in the financial sector. This is definitely not what I would teach to my students, but it's definitely what I need to provide to the men and women of God and those who are listening. You know, many people look at their total debt situation, right? And they often view the situation being either too large to handle or grave. You know, it's never going to get better. I don't like that. How about concentrate on the debts that you can actually manage and get control of? So I had two theories. The first one is this. Pay off the debt with the highest interest rate first. And the question is, why would you want to pay off the debt with the highest interest rate first? Because in the long run, you have saved more on interest, which means you have saved more money. Simple concept. Pay off the one with the highest interest first, because in the long run, you'll have saved more interest. And if you save more interest, then you'll save more money. More things, more money that you can do other things with. But I like the second one better. Pay off the smaller debts first. Brother Fisa, let's toss this back and forth, if you will. Why would you think you want somebody, or I'm saying, pay off the smaller debt first?
I was actually listening to your order. You said pay off the highest interest first, when I was always taught pay off the smallest debt first. And I like what you said about paying in the long run. You're right. That once you said it, just made a whole bunch of sense. I'm sorry to back up, but for me, paying off the smallest interest first, for me, it's phenomenal because
not the smallest one with not the one with the smallest interest rate, but the smallest amount of debt.
Right.
So for example, go ahead. Okay.
Right. So for me, that's phenomenal because it gives me encouragement. Once I pay off that one small debt, man, it's time for a party. I just got rid of one of my debts.
Amen.
You know? So that's actually what I say that's what I did, but that's what my wife did. You know, so that's really what she did. That was one of the things that we heard, that you know, you pay off the smaller ones first, and then you just take the money. I mean, you're already in debt. You take that money. If this debt was, you was paying it off $20 a month, and then the next one you pay it off is $120 a month, you take that $20 after you pay this bill off and roll it to the next one. Instead of paying $120 a month, now you're paying $140 a month. And it gives you that, man, what it does for your hope, what it does for your encouragement, what it does for your motivation. I've been there. It does a lot for you. I mean, you can take that $20. I mean, if it's to the point where you can't roll it over, now you got gas. that's gas. Or maybe you can afford to maybe take that first $20 and go out and get something to eat, celebrate a little bit, you know. It's one of the things, sometimes we got to celebrate small victories, and we got to justly celebrate small victories. And for me, that's really what it did for me. My wife was beginning to tell me, hey, we just paid this one off, and I'm rolling the money over here. And I'm like, man, go buy me a soda, you know. But that's what it did for me. So I love that idea, to tell you the truth. Love it.
And I'll expound on, you know, how I look at that second theory, if you will, about paying off the smaller debts first. This is not something that I made up. Brother Dunlap did not make this up. This is, you know, you can find these same two theories in a variety of different books, literature, and financial counselings and the like. The reason I want to encourage everybody with not trying to pay off more than one debt at a time is it's an unrealistic goal unless you just have a pot of money that you just got. So most people are trying to pay off their debts,
right,
and it takes a little work to do it. But if you just all of a sudden somebody drops $3,000 in your lap and you got a $400 bill, a $300 bill, a $600 bill, well, you got a whole lot more at your disposal. So you can make a different type of decision-making process for paying off those debts. But when you got to pay them off month after month after month, that's a whole different story. So I like what you said, Brother Feast, about celebrate the small victories. I think people need to hear that. Celebrate the small victories. Let me tell you who else celebrated the small victories since you took us there, Brother Feaster. God. In the book of Acts, there was 120 or 124 believers in the upper room. And then after the Holy Spirit came, 3,000 were saved. Well, like I said on previous shows, there was a whole lot more than 3,000 people than Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. There was at least 13,000, as I can count from reading the rest of the book of Acts. And I believe that God said, 120 gave the Holy Spirit. That's good. I like that. I believe that when the apostles and Peter spoke and God took over and the individuals who were listening made a decision that they wanted to turn from the way they were living and turn towards Jesus Christ, I really trust and believe that God was not tripping that, man, we got 15,000 people here in the day in Jerusalem, and we're speaking to all of them. How come all of them are not listening? I believe he celebrated a small victory. So for those of my individuals that are listening, brothers and sisters, God celebrates small victories, so why should we not? You know, on that theory, brother, go ahead, bro, go ahead.
I was going to say, you went all the way to Book of Acts. You didn't have to go that far. You could have went all the way to Genesis. You could have started at Genesis. Because God celebrated a small victory after everything he did. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the beginning and the end of the first day. That was it. That was a small victory. And then when he finished with creation, he took a whole day off. That was, he sat back and enjoyed his creation. That's a celebration. That's a celebration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For me, brothers and sisters, paying off the smaller debts first, you know, I'm with you right there, Brother Feaster. It is a sense of accomplishment. It's a sense of accomplishment. And what you said, Brother Feaster, about how Marie would take whatever you were paying. So if there was a debt that was $600, y'all paying $30 a month, paid off that $600 debt, took that $30 and rolled it over into something else. That's good too, but let me encourage you. Some people need to be able to have that victory, like you just said, right? So it may not be that individual needs to take that whole $30 and put it on a whole nother bill. Enjoy some of it. God has given a victory to that individual, gave them a milestone that they put forth an effort to get to. Celebrate in it. I'm not saying be philanderous with your money. I'm saying enjoy it, because it takes people oftentimes several years to get out of debt. And that's only time they are able to do that if they're not somebody who is getting a large sum of money. The only way they're able to do that is to cut back on their spending and to live a more modest lifestyle. But some people don't have the option. What type of modest lifestyle can you really have when your house note is so high? What type of modest lifestyle can you have when your car note is so high? When you have a car that requires 93-octane gas? You got to put 93-octane gas in, or you're going to probably cause some damage to the vehicle. Maybe not now, but maybe in the long run. So enjoy it. Enjoy the small victory, like Brother Feaster said. And I would also encourage this as well. If that $30 was what was being paid on that one bill for $600, Brother Feaster, maybe take 20 of it and put it on another bill, and take 10 of it and put it aside for a rainy day. Let's go back to some previous shows. When we talked about reasons for the debt, one of the reasons for the debt is lack of savings, right? So we don't want something that is being done, which God is blessing, by debts being reduced. You know, those dollar amounts are going down. The debt is coming off slowly but surely. And then another thing, as Brother Feaster said, life happens. Well, what's going to happen when life happens if nothing is being scaled back to save? More than likely, what's going to happen? Somebody's going to go back in debt again. So I think it's very well worth looking at those different options about paying a smaller debt first, and not just taking all the money and putting it on another bill. If you have another plan set for yourself, then I'm cool with that. But you have to understand what it is that you're trying to do and what the goal that you're trying to accomplish. Brother Feaster, I can tell you, in paying these debts off, let me encourage everybody by this. Commit and persevere, because that's what it's going to take to do what – that's what it took, Brother Feaster, for Marie to do what she did for you and your family, right?
Exactly. I'm going to put a noose on me, but go ahead.
Yeah, well, that was a commitment.
Right.
She had to help. Make sure, part of the commitment was, I'm going to tell Warren, or I'm going to tell Chris, that he cannot go out splurging. Is nothing wrong? You know what? That was a good commitment, was it not?
Yes.
Believe it was a good commitment.
Oh, yeah, we're celebrating the commitment every day.
That's right. And look at the testimony that you are able to provide to individuals listening to this show about, you know, I'm not going to say the news, by holding. Pulling the reins in on you, say, hey, you gotta hold back a little bit. And now you're able to do certain things that you couldn't do before if that commitment, not just to you, bro, but it was a commitment that she had for her family.
Right.
And not to exclude you, bro, but it was a commitment for your family together. So that means that was something that helped keep the family unit, the family structure together, because of a commitment to reduce debt. I believe that if individuals were, for those of you who are listening, I would say make the commitment to yourself first and foremost to begin managing the debt. We talked about managing and debt-free a couple weeks ago, right? It is not about being debt-free. I'm not making a commitment to be debt-free. I'm making a commitment to myself to manage the debt. Again, not about wiping out all the debt. It's about managing the debt. If you can commit to this, to that one simple principle of committing to managing your debt from this day forward, or begin to better manage your debt. Some people are managing their debt. They're just not doing it as good as they or as well as they need to be in order to get to the accomplished goal that they're trying to get to. I believe if somebody was to take that commitment to themselves, I'm going to make a commitment today that starting tomorrow, starting my next paycheck, I'm going to make a commitment to manage my debt a whole lot better than I'm doing, or to start managing my debt. I believe that that individual, you who are listening, you who take that step, would have made a great leap of faith. And I truly believe that faith without works is dead, Brother Feaster. So if an individual is trying to operate out of faith, they have to exercise it by doing something. And don't these things always start in the mind, Brother Feaster?
It always
starts in the mind. Everything we do starts from behind. Go ahead, bro.
No, I'm actually, I think we're saying the same thing. And because that's one of the things, one of the programs that I deal with in the military, how our thoughts control our actions. When I teach the basic class, I talk about how in the military installation, everyone has to go through the gate to get on the installation. And everyone has to show the proper ID. If you have the proper ID, it's the same routine. You go through, the person checks your ID, the person goes on through. Depending on how you perceive the event, your experience is going to be totally different from the next person's experience, and it's the exact same thing. It also goes back to, like I said earlier, when I said if we see, as you was talking, I was seeing how, as if we see debt as a negative thing, as a failure, then it's going to affect how we do it. And I want to propose that instead of saying debt free, we say debt management, because maybe it's just me being naive. I don't ever foresee us ever being debt free. But if we can manage, so what that does is that makes me, in my mindset, talking about Warren here, in my mindset, what that tells me is that if I'm trying to be debt-free and I'm looking at my bills and I'm looking at my car note, which one day I can pay that off. I'm looking at my light bill. Well, I would never pay that off. I'm looking at my house note. Well, one day I'm going to pay that off. But I'm looking at my water bill. Well, I'm never going to pay that off. So if we look at it more as being debt management, now there is a different sense that I'm looking at these bills in. It's no longer now achieving this great goal of living where you owe nobody, nowhere, at no time. But now it's a goal where I am living in a place where my bills are not consuming me, where I'm not very focused. Like, there are people that dread going to the mailbox. You know, living debt-free, well, thinking you're going to live debt-free is going to push you to that point to where you're going to make some drastic decisions. But if you're living under the debt management system, then you understand that going to the mailbox is just another thing, regardless if I like what the mailbox say or not. This is part of my debt management. Part of my debt management is I have to manage the debt that I've acquired. I have to manage the debt that came to me. I have to manage the debt. Some debt I'm going to get rid of. Some debt is going to be here. So Man, you're putting me, I'm dropping the mic a lot tonight because I'm feeling this one tonight. I really like the encouraging part because you look at the news, you look at the TV, and you look at all these commercials, these debt consolidation places and everything, and there is no encouragement in them. There is no encouragement in them. It's just like, well, you got this debt, come see me. I'm going to help you with it. You know, where is the encouragement in that? That's just me. I don't see the encouragement. So I think that's why I'm excited about this show. So dropping the mic again. Sorry.
Well, And I'm glad that, for and let me just say this selfishly, I am glad that there is not that encouragement, because then it wouldn't be true. You see what I'm saying?
Right,
the goal
right.
is not to encourage. The goal is for them to make money. So here it is. I have a debt consolidation company. I'm not doing it because it's free. I'm doing it because I can make money off you. So if you come to me with 22 bills, your total bills add up to minimum monthly payments. They add up to about $1,000 for a whole month. That's what you have to pay out, for example. And out of that $1,000, if I can get your debts down, get your minimum monthly payment, get you into a settlement with a company or with all these companies, and you're only paying about $500, then guess what? You're going to say what? Whew, thank the Lord. Everything is good. I have more money to manage. But don't think that the company is not going to get some. It's business.
Right.
I'm not hating on them. I'm not tripping on them. What I'm talking about is what we as men and women of God need to be doing to each other. Doggone, this thing has been going on long enough. I say all the time, when you're sick and tired, and you know that you're sick and tired, then you go and do something. So evidently, there's a lot of people that may not be sick and tired. But for those who are listening, those who are going to go back and listen to the archives, if you're sick and tired of it, take some of these encouraging words that we've been putting out there to you, that God has given to us and given through us for you. People go to church, and I'm not even going to really hit on this too hard, but people go to church and get encouraged about their relationship with Jesus Christ, being happy that he was born, he died, he rose again, was resurrected, he's coming back again. That is a great thing. I am a minister, y'all, so guess what? I'm there. Now, after I realize that, in my debt situation, tell me where that truly applies. That's not this all. That's not but a feast of it. It goes beyond that. The type of life, Jesus did not do all that for you to be broke, busted, and disgusted, to be under a bondage of debt and not able to live a wholesome and fruitful life. So I'm glad that they don't have that, Brother Feaster. I'm glad. I'm glad that we have the opportunity to present it to the people. I'm glad that people that want to call in and listen or sit down at the table, however they want to do it, online or call in, I'm glad that that freedom is there. Because if the freedom is there, it doesn't matter that I hear them or not. Only thing that matters is that they hear God through what we're doing. That's it. So, Brother Feaster, I'm done. I'm done for tonight, bro. I really am. I think that everybody who is listening, you have a lot of different points that you can pull from. Grab whichever one grabs you. Grab whichever one God is telling you, that's the one that I need to be, you need to be encouraged in. If it's don't try to pay off more than one debt at a time, grab a hold to it and run with it. If it's about committing and persevering, grab a hold to it and run with it. If it's about praying for the release of pride, grab a hold to it and run with it. If it's about understanding that having debt means that you are not a failure, grab a hold to it and run with it. If it means that you grab a hold and understand that it is not too late to ask for help, I don't care what the notice says in the mail, grab a hold to it and run with it. Brother Feaster, go ahead and give your closing comments, bro, or you can go and talk about whatever you want to talk with it, because I think I'm done.
Well, as we were talking about this last night, this particular text came to mind, and I'm going to take a couple of seconds to talk about this text. It's in Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple of verses, but I'm only going to deal with a few. But it's Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 11, which says, and I'm reading out of New King James Version, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which have no captains, overseers or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? Will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come to you like a prowler and your need like an armed man." As we were talking last night, this thing, that scripture, where it says a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hand, so shall your poverty come to you like a power and your need like an armed man. When I say it jumped at me, it jumped down. I was like, okay, where am I going with this? Because that don't sound too encouraging at all. And I one of the things I like to do when I preach is look at the scripture in a different light or in a different angle or in a different way. And one of the things that got me was this is showing right here, and this is not necessarily people that acquired debt, but this is more for people that found themselves in debt. How about that?
Mm.
And what it showed me was the way you got into debt was a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. That's how you got into debt. You did little to nothing. But what the script told me, and the reason why I read the first couple of verses, because it told you how to get out of debt. Because the way to get out of debt is to consider the ant who is diligently working, all summer, while everybody else, all the other animals are enjoying their summer, enjoying the heat. The ant is working, diligently working, grabbing, droppings of popcorn, grabbing pieces of bread, grabbing it and taking it to the nest and putting it way down there, because that ant understands that this is only going to last for a little while. I'm going to let you enjoy your time, and I'm going to enjoy my time when you are struggling. When you're struggling, I'm going to take what you are throwing away, and I'm going to use it. So the way this text jumped out me as, the way to get out of debt for the ones of us that acquired the debt is to do the exact opposite of what we did to get into debt. So if we did nothing to get and got into debt, then, you got to do the exact opposite. If we bought our way into debt, you got to do the exact opposite and buy your way out of debt. So it just was an interesting correlation between the ant and the slugger, how you have one that's a worker who's designed as a worker. You have one who is just doing absolutely nothing. Now, it doesn't say that this slugger is not an ant. It doesn't say that the slugger does not have the capability, the resources, the finances, or whatever it is that the thief didn't come. Obviously, the slugger has something because he went from having something to poverty. And an armed man is not going to stick somebody up that don't look like they're going to get something from it. So obviously, this slugger started with something, and over the course of time, because of inactivity, he lost or she lost everything. So that person has to be like the ant. That person has to take what they didn't do and get active and do something different. So, and that was my thing for the encouragement for today. The one thing that just jumped out to me is we have to be active to get out of debt. It was active getting into debt, and it has to be active to get out of debt. And one of the things I was thinking about earlier is, some of us acquire debt through the death of a loved one. When they died, they didn't pay all their bills, and now we have their bills. But even in that, again, we acquire debt. That's different from your cross colors and my VCR that we've been talking about for the past couple of weeks. But still, we acquire the debt. We have to work our way out of the debt. We have to be like the ant and not the slugger. Thank you for this day. I am so encouraged. I'm going to have to do some exercising before I go to bed to calm down so that I can go to sleep. I got so encouraged tonight. So.
Well, brothers and sisters, you're listening to the PRF Table, Brother Dunlap and Brother Feaster holding it down, Sister Adia and Sister Paula, our other hosts that are gracious enough to bless us with their presence almost every week. And we just hope that you have been encouraged by something that has been said this evening. We hope that you take whatever it is that is for you, run with it, allow God to make it work in your life. And when you get out of debt, when you learn how to manage your debt a little bit better, if you need some assistance in the things that we've been talking, contact us. Come back, sit down at the table with us. Share those testimonies with somebody. If you don't share it, why should God bring you through it? He's not going to bring you through it for you to keep it to yourself. He's going to bring you through it so that you can share it with somebody else and bless them. I think there's a price to pay, Brother Feaster. When God relieves us of our debt challenges and our debt situation, I think there's a price to pay. And I think it's a simple payment. It's a testimony. Not hard. But you have to be a willing vessel. You have to be willing to share that. And you have to have the right motive of wanting to be able to get out of debt as well. I think the motive is very, very important. If you have a desire to get out of your debt challenge or your debt situation, God knows your heart. He knows if you are ready to get out of that situation, and he knows if he brings you through it, what you're going to do when you get out of it. He knows if you're going to go back into that situation if he blesses you. He knows if you're not going to pay attention and give him the honor and the glory for relieving you of that debt situation or bringing those individuals into your life to help you in your debt situation. He knows all of that. He knows it. So the best thing that we can do is to make sure that our hearts are pure, to make sure that we're not just buckling under pressure, but that we have a really, truly and genuine desire to be able to, as we get help, to help somebody else. And don't wait until the debt is paid off to tell your testimony. It may take you 2 years to pay that bill down. So go ahead and start praising God now. Go ahead and start telling people, you know what? Man, I got 19 months. Man, I got 18 months. Man, I got 17 months. You know what? I remember 3 months ago when we had 20 months, and now I'm down to 17. People need to hear that. That's how you encourage other people. So it is about encouraging each other. All right. I think I've calmed down a little bit, Brother Feaster. So we're going to be back next Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you, everybody who's been out there listening. Again, take it, run with it, share it with somebody else. Share your personal testimony, what God has done in your life to help you. And if you don't believe in God, share with somebody else what has happened to you. You know, the amazing thing about it is we as Christians, we believe one way or many ways. The reality is this. The reality is everybody's not going to believe like us. Everybody's not going to believe that God brought them through. Everybody's not going to believe that it's because of their faith. But I can believe that for you. I think it's a well-rounded situation that we have here. So next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the PRF table, go on our Facebook page. We'll start posting some comments now. If there's some comments that you want to have added to the next show, go ahead and start posting them now. The Facebook page is possessions.resources.finances. And please remember, everything that we do on the PRF table is really all about love. If it's not about love, then we're not into it. But I can tell you, it is all about love. Have a good night.
We never spend time talking to you, so we figure we'd lay it on you, let you know how we feel about love.
Paint a pretty smile each day. Loving is a blessing, yeah. Never let it fade away. It's all about love, yeah. Feel yourself a true romance. Beauty that's around you, yeah. You deserve just one more chance, my dear, my dear. Let the light shine all through your life. Fill your little heart aglow. Take the time, make up your mind. It's all about love, yeah. Talking to yourself is fine. Makes you feel much better. Know just where to draw the line. Girl, my dear. Girl, my dear. Oh, God. take the time, make up your mind, it's all about love, yeah. Talking to yourself is fine, makes you feel much better. Know just where the trouble lies, my dear, my dear. Bound to fall in love one day, surely, and you need it. Pretty smile will always say, my dear, yeah.
We want to just take this moment to run down a couple of things about things we see every day. Now, I want you to stop whatever you're doing. Just stop. I want to rap to you. You know, they say there's beauty in the eyes of the beholder, you know? Which I say is a natural fact. Because you are as beautiful as your thoughts, right on? You know, like with us, for instance, you know, like we studied all kinds of cult sciences and astrology and mysticism and world religion and so forth, you dig? And like, coming from a hip place, all of these things help because they give you an insight to your inner self. Have mercy. Now, there's an outer self we gotta deal with, you know? The one that like to go to parties, the one that like to dress up and be cool and look pretty on ego trips and all this. So like, hey y'all, I'm trying to tell you, you gotta love you. You gotta learn all the beautiful things around you, the trees and the birds. And if there ain't no beauty, you gotta make some beauty. Have mercy, listen to me, y'all.
Feel it.
Talking about beauty.